and through the things which he has created. And from his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. And from the things which he has created are the seven heavens and the seven earths, and whatever is in them and whatever is between them. So, just to summarise some of the points which we had from the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, then we had, following on from the week before, where we had the ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that the proof that Allah is indeed our Lord. The Sheikh, the author, Sheikh Al-Islam, quoted the ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The ayah with the explanation that all praise is for Allah, the Lord of the whole of creation. So, last week we had the point, continuing from that, that indeed Allah is the Lord of the whole of creation. And therefore, since I and you, since each one of us, are a created being, and Allah is the Lord of all created beings, then He is my Lord. And no one can claim that he has a Lord besides the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of the whole of creation. And since Allah is the Lord of the whole of creation, all of it, is the sole Lord of the whole of creation, then therefore he alone deserves worship from the creation. He alone deserves worship from them. Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentions, which nullifies the worship of everything else besides him. And this is what occurs in the ayah which follows on from Surah Al-Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The ayah with the explanation, you alone do we worship, and your aid alone do we seek. And Sheikh Al-Fawzan made the point that because of the order of the wording there, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, that shows restriction, that this worship is restricted to Allah alone. إِيَّاكَ, you alone, na'budu, do we worship. Meaning we worship you and we do not worship anything besides you. So the ayah contains negation and affirmation. Negation of worship for everything besides Allah, and affirmation of worship for Allah alone. Now the Sheikh mentioned this is essential, that a person has both of these. Just as the same as occurs in the Shahada, La ilaha illallah. Contains exactly the same negation and the same affirmation. Negation of worship for everything besides Allah, La ilaha illallah. Negation of worship for everything besides Allah, and affirmation of worship for Allah alone. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. That's the meaning of the ayah, Iyyaka na'budu, and likewise the meaning of the shahada. Then the question was raised, that how do you know about your Lord? That since our Lord, since your Lord is Allah, the Lord of the whole creation, then how do you know about him? And the answer was through his signs and through the things which he has created. Then the Sheikh raised the point that every claim, as a general rule, every claim needs to have a proof. Otherwise it will be merely a claim. Anyone can claim something, but to establish that claim you need proof. Otherwise you'll just be a claimant, making a claim without evidence. So then, what is the proof for your claim, O Muslim, that Allah is your Lord? The Sheikh mentioned that all of the creation, as occurs in the text, all of the creation is a proof that Allah is the Lord of the creation. The whole of creation, everything that is created. So he made the point that everything in existence in the creation, did it create itself? Everything that you find in creation, did it create itself? That's not possible. Did a human or someone else from creation create that thing in creation? No one can claim that. And the point, the Sheikh made the point, a human being cannot even create a fly, not even the tiniest thing. No created being can even create a fly. So how about the rest of the creation, the huge things in creation? Which leaves with the essential conclusion that it is all indeed created by the Creator. and the existence of all the created things are a proof for their creator. And Sheikh quoted the famous lines of poetry from the Bedouin Arab with regard to the piece of camel dung, that every piece of camel dung proves that there is a camel. You may not see the camel, the land may be empty of camels, but the fact that you see a piece of camel dung automatically means that there was a camel there. And the fact that you see a footstep upon the earth in a certain land, even if you can't see anyone anywhere near, that proves that a person has passed by on that place. So how about the whole of creation, all that Allah has created? Indeed, everything in the creation is a proof for Him, He the Most High. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan made the point that with regard to the signs, the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah, the signs proving Allah, they are of two kinds. Kauniyya, the ayatul kauniyya, signs present within the creation. And the second type of signs is the signs sent down in the revelation. Al-ayat al-Qur'aniyya, the ayahs of the Qur'an. So all the signs in the creation, they prove the Creator, no doubt. And the ayahs of the Qur'an command us to worship that Creator and use His Lordship, that you find very often mentioned in the Qur'an, Allah's Lordship, as a proof for His right to be worshipped. Because He is the sole Lord of the creation, the sole Creator and giver of life and giver of death, therefore He is the only one who has your right to worship. The only one who has the right that you should worship Him. And then it finished, or towards the end, was the point that from the greatest of His signs that we can see are the night and the day, which follow on in succession. The day following the night following the day in succession. And then the Sheikh made a point with regard to those things which are made by the creation, those things which are man-made, that no matter how tremendous they are or how well made they are, that sooner or later they wear out, they stop working and they break. Whereas the things made by Allah, the heavens and the earth, the night and the day, the sun and the moon, they do not come to an end. They don't wear out, break away, until Allah wishes that they should stop. Until then, they don't. Contrary to the created things that man has created, the ships and the cars and the like, no matter how fine they are, sooner or later they stop working. Whereas the night and the day, they do not stop working. They don't break down. Then comes the point which follows on page 107 of Sheikh al-Fawzan's explanation, page 83 of the Egyptian edition, the point which Sheikh al-Fawzan, up to the point continuing, Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he brings a heading, الدليل على ربوبيته وإلهيته سبحانه وتعالى. The proof for His Lordship and His divinity and right to all worship. He, the perfect and most high. Then comes the saying of the author, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. والدليل قوله تعالى وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرُ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. The ayah from Surah Fussilat, the 41st Surah, ayah 37. So the saying of the author, and the proof is his saying, He the Most High. And he quotes the ayah from Surah Fussilat, ayah 37, with the explanation. And from his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. Do not prostrate to the sun nor to the moon, but rather prostrate to Allah, the one who created them, if you truly worship Him. Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, this is a proof for his rububiyya and ilahiyya. This is a proof for his lordship and his divinity and right to worship. He the perfect and most high. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. Same ayah, part of the ayah with the explanation. And from his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, الشمس والقمر, the sun and the moon. He said, the sun is the tremendous star which gives light to the creation. As a lamp burning and shining. Sirajan wahaja. The sun is the tremendous star which gives light to the creation. As a lamp burning and shining. Just as Allah the Most High said, وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا, Surah An-Naba, the 78th Surah, Ayah 13, with the explanation, and we have made it, in the sun, a lamp burning and shining. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and the qamar, and the moon, is a light which brightens the night time and gives light to the pathway of the people. Then he said, and from their benefit, meaning from the benefit of the two of them, the sun and the moon, and from their benefits also is the well-being of the creation through its trees and its fruits and oceans. And these are benefits coming about by means of the sun and the moon. The well-being of the creation through its trees and its fruits and its oceans. So if the sun were hidden away from the creation, then the creation would suffer harm. And many of the means of livelihood and their welfare would be corrupted. And if the moon were hidden away, then likewise, the same would happen. The moon also brings about benefits for their fruits and their trees, along with what it contains also from awareness of reckoning, I mean reckoning of time periods. And the moon also contains that benefit. As for the benefits of the sun with regard to the growth of plants and trees and fruits and the like, then it's well known. So the Shaykh makes the point, likewise the moon, it's not so well known, but it also has benefits in that regard with regard to the growth of plants and fruits. And it also, the moon also has the benefit of, it enables us to be aware or gain awareness of the reckoning of time. Then the Shaykh quotes the ayah, he the Most High said, وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَ لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَ لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. Surah Yunus, the 10th Surah, Ayah 5. With the explanation, and the moon, a light, and we made the moon a light and appointed set phases for it, so that you should know the number of years and the reckoning of the months, days and hours. That was the explanation mentioned by Tabari and others of Al-Hisab, the reckoning. Tabari and others, and he mentioned the report from the Salaf, meaning the reckoning, Al-Hisab, meaning the reckoning of the months, the days and the hours. These come about through observation of the movement of the sun and the moon. And Shaykh Fawzan quotes a second evidence. He said, and he the Most High said, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, Ayah 189. With the explanation, They ask you about the crescent moons. Then say, they are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind and for the Hajj. They ask you about the crescent moons. Say, they are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind and for the Hajj. Sheikh Fawzan commented and said, so the Ahilla, the crescent moons, bring benefit for awareness of time periods and deadlines. Deadlines for debts. And deadlines for the waiting periods of the women. I mean the waiting periods of a woman's iddah. Al-iddah, plural of iddah. The waiting period when a woman has been divorced. The waiting period she has to wait until she can remarry, or the waiting period after her husband has died. The waiting period likewise, she can wait until she remarries. I mean a woman who's married and her husband divorces her, and she's either pregnant or not pregnant, or a woman who's married and her husband dies, then there is upon them an iddah. In each of those three cases, a different iddah. So Sheikh mentions this crescent moon enables us to be aware of this. So to repeat what he said, so the crescent moons bring benefit for awareness of the time periods and the deadlines. Deadlines for debts and deadlines for the waiting periods of the women. And the set times for acts of worship and fasting and Hajj. All of them are known by reckoning based upon these two lights. These two shining lights, in the sun and the moon. As he said, the sun and the moon. So the solar reckoning and the lunar reckoning contain many benefits for all of the creation. Then he moves on, and he said, and from those things which he has created are the seven heavens. He the Most High said, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahun. Surah Al-Talaq, the 65th surah, ayah 12. With the explanation, Allah is the one who created seven heavens. Allah is the one who created seven heavens and their like from the earth. Then he quotes the second ayah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تِبَاقًا. Surah Al-Mulk, the 67th surah, ayah 3. With the explanation, Allah, the one who created seven heavens in levels. Levels or layers, tibaqan. Levels one above the other. Allah, the one who created seven heavens in levels. Sheikh Fawzan said, each being above the other. The lowest heaven, then the one which follows it, up until the seventh one. And above them all is the arsh. And above them all is the throne of the Most Merciful, He the Perfect and Most High. Then he mentions a point which is not so well known. The fact that there are seven heavens is well known. Sheikh mentions a point with regard to the seven earths. He said, and the earths are seven, just as He the Most High said, وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ. The ayah that just came before, Surah Al-Talaq, 65th surah, ayah 12, with the explanation, and they're like from the earth. Sheikh Fawzan said, so they, mean the seven earths, so they are tibaq also. They are seven levels or seven layers also. This is a point that's not well known. Just as the heavens are seven, one above the other, Likewise, the earths, seven, one above the other in layers or levels, one above the other. He said, and every level from the levels of the heaven, of the seven heavens and the earths, have inhabitants and occupants. Then he said, and whatever planets and stars are in the heavens, the sun and the moon, and whatever is in the earth, from created things, from animals with their different types, and from mountains and trees, and rocks and minerals, and oceans, these are from the signs of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Al-Ayatul Kawniyya, from the creational signs, which are seen and witnessed. All of those things he just mentioned, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, all those things he mentioned, all the planets, the stars, the sun and the moon, animals with all their different types, the mountains, the trees, the rocks, minerals, oceans, these are all from the creational signs of Allah, Al-Ayatul Kawniyya. Things that Allah has placed in the creation, which have a sign, proving Him. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, he, rahimahullah, said, and the proof, وَدَلَيْلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرُ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Was the ayah brought by the author as proof for this point. Surah Fussilat, first surah, ayah 37, with the explanation again. And from his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. Do not prostrate to the sun nor to the moon, but rather prostrate to Allah, the one who created them, if you truly worship Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلِ, and from His signs is the night. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning from His signs which prove Lordship and His ability and His sole right to worship, to the exclusion of all else besides Him, is the night, which brings darkness, and the daytime, which brings light to the whole of creation. This is from the amazing signs of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Shaykh al-Fawzan expands slightly upon that, explains that and says, so who can make the whole of the creation dark all at once and then make the whole of the creation bright all at once? He is Allah, the Perfect and Most High. I mean, no one else can do that. He said, if all of the creation were to gather together to make one part of the earth bright, they would not be able except to make a restricted area bright. If the whole of the creation upon the earth tried to make somewhere upon the earth bright, they would not be able except make a restricted area, a limited area, bright. If they brought all the electrical generators which are in the world, all of them, they could not make bright except a restricted portion of the earth. All the machines, all the generators, everything, they brought them together in one place, all of the people, to try and make the earth as much as they could bright. They could only make a certain little tiny portion. bride. As for the sun and the moon, then they bring light to the whole of the earth. The night and the day follow each other in succession, and the sun and the moon likewise. And again he quotes the ayah. He the Most High said, La, or the latter part of the ayah, La tasjudu lishamsi wala lilqamar wasjudu lillahi alladhi khalaqahunna in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. Part of the ayah with the explanation, do not prostrate to the sun nor to the moon, but rather prostrate to Allah, the one who created them, if it is He that you truly worship. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is a nullification of shirk. Do not prostrate to created things. Since from the greatest of the created things are the sun and the moon. From the greatest of created things that we can witness are the sun and the moon. And yet we're told, do not prostrate to the sun and the moon. So the Shaykh said, this is nullification of shirk. And he said, and because the people of shirk, the mushrikeen, they used to worship the sun and prostrate to it. And from them were those who used to worship the moon and the stars, such as the people of Ibrahim. They would build for them temples in the form of the stars, and they would worship them. So he's saying, He the Most High, La tasjudu lishams, with the explanation, do not prostrate to the sun. Shaykh Fawzan then explained the word sujood, prostration. He said, as sujood means placing the forehead upon the ground in humble submission to the one who is worshipped. As sujoodu ma'nahu wad'ul jabhata alal ardi khudu'an lil ma'bud. That's what prostration means. Placing the forehead upon the ground in humble submission to the one who is worshipped. And it is the greatest of the types of worship. Sujood, prostration, is the greatest of the types of ibadah, worship. And Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ السَّاجِدُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closest that the servant comes to his Lord is whilst he is in prostration. In a footnote they mention the hadith reported by Muslim as hadith number 482 from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And the narration of Muslim has a completion at the end. فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى. The closest that the servant comes to his Lord is whilst he is in prostration. So therefore make plentiful supplication. You make plentiful supplication whilst you're in that position, in prostration, in sajda. Then back to the text of the Shaykh. Shaykh Fawzan then said, so the greatest of the types of ibadah, of worship, is prostration upon the ground. Since your face is the thing which you cherish the most, you have placed it for Allah upon the ground as an act of worship for Allah and in submission before Him, He the Perfect and Most High. This is true prostration, and it is not befitting to perform it as worship except for Allah. A reason there why sajda is one of the greatest acts of worship, because the person, the most cherished thing, the part of his body that he most cherishes is his face. But for Allah, he'll place that upon the ground. He'll place the most beloved part of his body, he'll place it on the ground in front of his Lord in humble submission to Him. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, as for prostrating to the sun and the moon, then it is prostration to a living thing, or it is prostration to a created thing, which does not have the right to be prostrated to. So it is not permissible to prostrate to created things. But rather, sujood, prostration, is only for the creator of the created things. As for the created things, then they are just like you. Something created, something managed and controlled. Would you prostrate to a created being who is incapable, just the same as you? This is not permissible. Where have the intellects gone? I mean, those people who are prostrate to anything besides Allah, where have their intellects gone? They're prostrating to something that's just the same as themselves, created, incapable, just the same as they are. Then the Shaykh said, as sujood, prostration is only deserved by the Creator, He the Perfect and Most High, who is not rendered incapable by anything. So prostration is the right of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. It is not the right of the creation. No matter how great and large the created being is, it is still a created being who is weak and is managed and controlled. لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. Again, the ayah, same ayah of the text, Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, ayah 37, with the explanation, do not prostrate to the sun nor to the moon, but rather prostrate to Allah, the one who created them, if it is Him whom you truly worship. But Shaykh Fawzan finished, so what is obligatory is that we do not worship except Allah. So if you make prostration to Him, and you also prostrate to other than Him, if you prostrate to Him, to Allah, and you prostrate to other than Him, then you are not worshippers of Allah with correct worship. Rather, you are worshipping Him along with shirk. And shirk corrupts and destroys worship. If you're a person who worships Allah, but you also worship other things besides Him, you prostrate to Allah, but you prostrate to other things, then that is an action of shirk, which will corrupt and destroy your worship. The meaning of what the Shaykh said. Then comes the next ayah brought by the author as evidence, and the explanation is quite long, so we'll leave that till next time, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And any points of clarification then, as usual, catch me after, inshaAllah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Swift, especially you. Shukran, I have power to do this.